Mansef on 1 August 78. So what were you thinking then in the early 50s about this problem?
I think that the main part of the electron component must be relictic origin. And the small part is near the galaxy plane, maybe from the supernova remnants. I think that the diffusion of cosmic rays from the galactic plane to the north and south poles is so slowly that the time of life of cosmic electrons, they can't penetrate from the galactic plane to the
They cannot
penetrate.
Right.
Because there is reflection of cosmic rays from the magnetic
field lines,
field
right.
lines from right. the magnetic field lines from the there is very small irregularities, and they reflected and they moved
right
another way.
So you don't think the electrons could get to the halo?
Oh, yes.
They could not get to the halo,
yes,
right?
From the halo.
But now, who was the one that made the suggestion for the cosmic ray electrons causing the background radiation? Did you first make the suggestion, or was it Ginzburg, or both of you? Whose idea was it? That's what I'm trying to...
Oh. This about the origin of cosmic non-thermal radio emission and cyclotron radio emission. It was first work in physical review of Professor Alfen and Dr.
Herlofson.
Yes, and Kippenheuer.
Right.
But Dr. Kippenheuer made a mistake
in
check of intensity of cosmic radio emission. Professor Ginzburg checked it more correctly. But I checked the spectrum of cosmic radio emission and connect it with the energetic spectrum of cosmic radio emission.
Right.
I draw a globe connected the energetic spectrum and
the spectral
frequency,
index.
Frequency spectrum of non-thermal radio emission.
Right.
Law is intensity is equal constant coefficient t multiplied by frequency 1 minus gamma divided by 2.
Right.
But I checked in my first work printed in the Claudia of Russian Academy of Science reports. Coefficient of t I checked not quite correctly. Dr. Ginzburg say me about this. I checked it quite correctly, very rapidly, during 2 hours.
I see.
After this, it will be published by Dr. Ginzburg and I. Dr. Ginzburg drew this formula in a report of Academy of Science and indicate in this article that previous my publication have a mistake with this coefficient.
Right. Now, at that time, were you quite certain that the galactic background was due to the synchrotron mechanism, or was it just a suggestion that it might be due to it, or did... How certain were you that this was probably the mechanism? How sure were you that this was the right explanation? Or was it just another suggestion that a possible cause?
Dr. Ginzburg told me that I can investigate non-cosmic radio emission. And he told me that I must investigate a synchrotron radiation. This year I self-checked the connection between energetic spectrum.
Right.
Dr. Ginzburg not told me about this,
I
about
see.
The connection of the spectrum, But
I see.
But when I получил investigate this connection, I believe that it is quite correct.
I see.
The proposals, because the coincidence between the experimental results and experimental results and theoretical results is quite correct. And synchrotron losses and ionizing losses is influenced in such manner in the of the energetic spectrum that they have a low which coincides with experimental results.
With the steep spectrum
of
the background.
Yes, the steep spectrum is quite correct.
But cosmic ray electrons, however, had not ever been observed, had not been observed at that time,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes,
but,
yes.
But you felt for sure that they must exist along with the protons, because it was not until 1960 that the first detection of cosmic ray electrons was made.
We have no experiments.
Right, there were no experiments, but you felt that they must exist, the electrons must exist along with the protons and the cosmic rays?
Yes. Protons can't be responsible for the non-thermal cosmic ray emission because there is no possibility to explain
right.
mass too large from the protons and emission too small from
right.
the protons. And
but the electrons, though, had never been observed.
Yes, of course, but
but you felt they must be there.
That might be exist in very small amounts. It's necessary.
Right.
That it's necessary to explain. They were observed in solar system. It's very difficult to speak about electron components in the galaxy.
Right. Right. Now,
on the base of existence in the solar system.
Now, there were several papers in the early 1950s by Soviet scientists, including yourself, about the synchrotron mechanism and so forth. And yet it seems to me that in the Western countries that people were not thinking about synchrotron radiation as much as in the Soviet Union. Do you have any ideas why this was, why there was this reluctance?
I published my first result about the connection between the spectral in index alpha and the energetic index gamma. Alpha is equal to 1 minus gamma divided by 2 in 1950 in the Успехи физических наук.
Well,
yes.
51, actually,
yes.
I have it.
Made this result by numerical calculations, firstly. And I have seen that this law is quite correct.
Right.
I repeat that firstly I made it, I received this result with the help of numerical calculations. And after this, I do it more formally. I give the formula for synchrotron radio emission.
With an analytical method?
Yes, yes. But I made a mistake in calculation of sky coefficient proportional in this formula.
But do you have any idea, though, why it was not until the late 1950s that the idea of synchrotron radiation was not generally accepted in the Western countries? Why did it have such a slow acceptance amongst Western radio astronomers? Do you have any thoughts about...
I have heard nothing about this. I read only a paper in Physical Review of Alfin and Thorlofsson and Dr. Kippenhoer.
Okay. Now
I feel like give a remark.
Yes.
Professor Shklovsky, he was my opponent when I made of my...
when you defended your dissertation?
Yes, dissertation.
Right.
Spoke that it was a mistake.
Oh, really?
The synchrotron radio emission not exist.
I see.
He spoke that it is radio stars connected with the background radiation,
right.
Large amount of radio stars, spherical components.
Right, right.
Whoa. But 2 months later, he drew an article where he told about this, that's quite correct mechanism, and used it for explanation of the non-thermal radio emission of discrete sources.
Right.
It is
right. I know that. I know the paper you mean by Shklovsky.
Huh? Yes, yes, yes.
Right.
In the Astronomical Journal.
Right. But now there's a paper that you have in the Gorky University. I'm not sure what this is. Uchensky or something. Uchensky Zap Gork University, 1954.
Ученые записки, yes.
And,
известия вузов, yes.
And here you were looking at the space distribution of the sources of the background radiation. So you were you thinking that the cosmic rays came from discrete sources?
Yes.
And what kind of sources were you thinking of at that time?
What kind of sources?
Yeah.
I think that years that maybe. Supernova remnants, that years,
so
1940.
So they were not in the halo, they were in the plane.
Yes. In the plane, there's a halo also.
Oh, in the halo year. Also?
Yes.
But we don't see supernova remnants in the halo, though.
Supernova remnants is a plane component.
Right.
The cosmic rays which penetrate along the magnetic line, and they may travel.
So I see. So the electrons go away,
yes.
From the...
Mm-hmm.
And did it look like the lifetimes of the electrons worked out all right? So that they could radiate far above the galactic plane?
It is a very difficult question, because it is a question closely connected with the time of diffusion.
Right.
And the character of diffusion, it's a very difficult question, because if the diffusion is a simple diffusion along the line of force,
a very complicated
such a
path,
but
yes.
There, if there is a reflection,
yes.
Of cosmic rays from the shock waves,
right.
They move
from discontinuities.
Yes, they,
in the,
they move
right.
In another turn.
Right.
They, the time of diffusion must be very large. And time of the lifetime of electrons is too small to penetrate in the halo.
Okay, now you had a paper with Ginsberg in 1952 in Doklady on the explaining solar burst by synchrotron radiation.
Yes,
also,
yes, yes.
Can you tell me about that?
Yes, it is very interesting for us. To explain some solar events with the help of the synchrotron radiation, because we have seen that it is very plausible conception connected with the cosmic background radiation. Do you know today that there is synchrotron radiation in some events? But the main events may be connected with the plasma resonance,
right.
On the synchrotron cyclotron mechanism,
but
on the harmonics.
But don't worry about today so much. What were you thinking then? Why did it look like a good idea in 1952?
I think now that this idea. That in 1952 and later stimulate the work in this region.
Yeah.
Professor Vyshnyakov made very much results in this region.
Did you say what was his name?
Zheleznyakov.
Yes,
Zheleznyakov.
Right.
But I don't think that is the main mechanism of the non-thermal dose of solar radiation.
Right.
Now, plasma mechanism.
I think we should go back now. Continuing now after a break. Well, tell me about the deuterium line.
I don't know is our result about the deuterium line is correct or not, because after our publication, Australian radioastronomers checked as result and told about that those results is not quite correct, because they used large 64-meter antenna in parks and observed the deuterium line in absorption with the help of the Cassiopeia E radiation.
Right.
And they report that about the absence of deuterium in galaxy, if deuterium exists, the amount of deuterium is 1,000 in comparison with that amount that we measure.
Right.
And after this, I think that we have a mistake.
Now, but what exactly was your experiment? Can you describe to me what were the observations?
We used in our observations 5 meter antenna array with some simple dipole system in the focus and a simple receiver with good noise factor, but not cooler, of course, because it's very old measurements. And we deviate the frequency during each season seance and repeat it many times.
So you had one channel?
One channel.
And you moved that in frequency?
Yes, one channel moved, yes, changed frequency. And after this, we averaged all our results during the 3 or 4 months. And after averaging our results, not during 4 or 3 months, but during 2 or 3 weeks, the total number of observations during 2 or 3 weeks may be 40 or 60. We have some results that the existing that deuterium may exist. Additional averaging during the more old time not changed this result.
So it looked pretty good then.
But after the Australian publications, we think that we made a mistake, and we saw that we observe non-thermal cosmic radio background radio emission polarization component, which maybe rotates with changing of frequency, and can give us such effect as in the deuterium line, because we observe in not very large frequency in interval,
right.
We can see only one oscillation. In some more frequency intervals, but not very large intervals.
So you think it might be a polarization effect?
Yes, but now...
But you're not sure, of course, yeah.
I think that we should like to repeat in some future, during 1 or 2 years, with the help of 22 meters parabolic antenna in Serpukhov or in Crimea antenna.
Right.
And to try it, we shall try to repeat with a more plausible technique, a more modern technique.
Now, let me just make sure I understand the effect you're talking about. It would be due to the polarization of the galactic background.
Yes.
Varying with frequency.
We change frequency at 100 kilocycles, 100 and a half kilocycles. It is maybe that due to Faraday effect, little components
I see.
From the Sagittarius A, from the galaxy centrum, may rotate and give us such effect as the interior lane.
Did you, what was your comparison? Were you taking off spectra also? Or were you frequency switching? Or?
Yes, frequency switched slowly.
I see.
Do you have much?
No, but I mean, but were you frequency switching fast?
No.
Or were you beam switching? Or?
Oh, yeah, frequency switched fast for reception of the signal.
Right. And then switching.
Slow.
Slowly, also.
Deviation.
Okay.
For detection of line.
Okay.
It was a channel of comparison.
Right.
Yet another channel.
Right. Can you tell me, in the late 1950s, how your ideas changed as
19?
To... Well, in 1957, 58, you were writing about the galactic halo and the cosmic rays and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Did you still think by that time that the electrons were probably coming from supernova remnants, that was probably the source of the electrons?
It is very difficult questions. If the observing halo exists, I think that there is no possibility to explain cosmic rays and halo as a cosmic reactance and cosmic rays from supernova remnants. But if the observable galo not exist, and we can see only a flat radio component, it is not necessary to propose that we can have a cosmic rays of elliptic origin or extragalactic origin. It may be explained, maybe, from the supernova remnants.
Right. Now, when you say relict origin, is that what you're saying? Do you mean from the primeval universe?
Yes.
From the beginning?
Yes.
You've always been there?
Yes. From the explosion of our center of galaxy, or maybe another case of cataclysm.
Okay. Now, what about the business of polarization of the galactic background? On the synchrotron theory, there should be some polarization. And did you ever do any experiments to try to find the polarization in the background?
We talk about the polarizations with Professor Razin.
Razin, yeah.
In 19, I forgot exactly, 43 or 44.
43?
Yeah, 43. We
During World War II?
We published a theoretical article in where we checked a percent of polarization which you may expect.
This would be 53.
53 or
54. Yes, right.
53 or 54.
Okay.
We published it in astronomical journal and another journals.
Right.
And I forgot exactly when Dr. Razin observed firstly the polarization. I think that it was in 55 or 56.
Mm-hmm. And was this the expected amount? Were there any surprises in what he found, or was it about as expected?
Yes. We have a model for our checking of polarization that our galaxy is full of cosmic rays, irregularities in magnetic fields, this diffusion of cosmic rays in those irregularities.
Mm-hmm.
And we checked the results, linear polarization components, as a sum of many independent sources
right.
with a chaotic line of polarization.
Right.
There is a simple formula for expression. The percentage of polarization must be 1 or 3%.
Right.
If the sizes of irregularities not too large, not too small. In Dr. Razin measure much more percent of polarization. But we know today that there is some regions on the sky where the percent of polarization indeed more large than in our model.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had a paper in the Astronomical Journal in 59 about what you called magnetized clouds or something like this, meaning the...
Oh, yes.
What did you mean by a magnetized cloud? Did you mean a...
About the cosmic ray losses and cosmic ray losses.
But you were trying to find out about the inhomogeneities in the galactic background, and trying to get the size of the these magnetized clouds, and you said that they were smaller than 75 parsecs in size.
Maybe this short communication, maybe.
It was in the Astronomische Journal in 59. Don't remember that
one? I forgot about this. I remember a work where I checked losses of energy of cosmic ray particles during its moving in magnetic galactic magnetic field. It is very plausible mechanism for... temperature rise of a cosmic
to heat
of the interstellar medium.
I see.
I talk about not so energetic cosmic ray electrons, because relativistic ray electrons there is in very little amounts we have, and energy not mm-hmm. too large, but cosmic ray electrons with energies more small than 10⁻⁷ is plausible for to be hot interstellar medium.
Okay. Well, that pretty much comes to the end of these papers, but let me ask you a general question. What would you say are the main contributions of the Soviet Union to radio astronomy before 1960? What do you think are the main
results? Before 1960. Before 1960. I think that in the theory, it is works in the nature of the cosmic ensemble,
right.
Radio emission, synchrotron mechanism. I think the theory, plus the work of Professor Shklovsky, he checked the synchrotron mechanism in connection with the radiation of discrete sources.
Oh, the Crab Nebula.
Crab Nebula, particularly. Right. Yes. I think also that measurements of Witkiewicz measurements of solar winds with the help of the Crab Nebula and
solar occultations
of Crab Nebula and other sources, and measurements of the solar wind irregularities. It is not pure radio astronomy, mm-hmm. I believe.
Right, right.
Yes, but it is very
it's
interesting
related,
phenomena,
yes.
Yeah. I think that discovery of polarization by Professor Razin, I think that it is very interesting result also. I think that it is all.
Okay, that's good. Now another question would be, it seems to me that there was not the theory was stronger than the experimental work in the Soviet Union in the 40s and 50s. Do you agree with that?
I think that the theory, Soviet theory, much more better than Soviet radio astronomy.
Right. Well, experimental. Okay.
Experimental.
Why is
we
that?
We have no good instruments.
But why is that? Why is that? I mean, has there been a decision made somewhere?
No, we have Rattan 600.
Well, now, no, I'm talking about in the 1950s, though. In the 1950s, what was there a decision made that Soviet radio astronomy would concentrate on theory and not on instruments, or what do you think was the reason for this?
I think that this the Soviet radio astronomy not specialized only in theory, but if we have before the good instruments, we can to do good experimental works. We believe that in future we shall have good instruments mm-hmm. that we... But it's very difficult to do good works with a small this.
Well, that's for sure.
Yes,
right.
But now we...
That ends the interview with Gitmansif on 1 August 1978.